This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
The Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Yeah, in fact, that Elizabeth Warren commencement speech had lots of undertones of impeachment. But listen, they're not even beating around the bush anymore. They're just dropping the I word left and right. Impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. And the media is going along with it, of course, because they want to give everybody false hope. Well, everybody on the left, that is. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. CBSPhilly.com/Rich and on Twitter at Rich Zioli. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you moms out there had a wonderful day yesterday. All right, today's going to be another day where I'm going to open the phone lines very early in the show and allow you to call in if you can tell me what Trump has done that rises to the level of an impeachable offense. Here's what I mean. I've heard now over and over again, this pundit and that pundit. This morning it was Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe. Joe Scarborough mocks people who used to have pocket constitutions. If you watch Morning Joe in the morning, you know what I'm talking about, but not many people do. Nobody does. So here's what I'll tell you. He sits there with Mika, and she's got a big engagement ring now, and all the people on their panel. And Scarborough, who prides himself on being a former congressman who was a Republican and prides himself on going after other Republicans. He's one of those guys who likes to show his independence by being able to go after other Republicans. And Scarborough talks about how heroic he was in the Bush years to criticize Bush for the spending. And he acts like he was the only person who ever did that. He was the only one who ever criticized George W. Bush for all the spending in the Bush years, or the war in Iraq, or the expansion of Medicare Part D. Then Scarborough proceeds to start mocking people who carried around pocket constitutions for years. And Scarborough goes, and he actually like mocks. I mean, I'm a person who carried around a pocket constitution for years, and he mocks people like me and maybe a person like you. I have my constitution here. He does this dopey, dumb. I don't know if it's a Southern accent or if it's a trailer park accent. I don't exactly know what it is, but his whole point was you carried around the Constitution all these years, and now you have a president violating the Constitution left and right, and you say nothing. That was the entire premise of Joe's opening his diatribe there and his little mocking. I carried around my pocket constitution and now I don't care about the Constitution. And he's mocking people who are conservatives. And he wonders why people call him a sellout or think he's a sellout. Or he wonders why he's relegated to the MSNBC morning show. I have my pocket constitution. Now I don't give a damn because of Trump. I have a question for Joe, and I have a question for anybody else who believes what Joe said. Can you point to one thing Trump has done that violates the United States Constitution for me? Could you do that for me? And if you can, 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. I will give you the platform that this 50,000-watt top 10 market radio station offers, as well as the incredibly high ratings of the Afternoon Drive show. So you have the platform. You can make your case. What has Donald Trump done that violates the United States Constitution? Because I consider myself first and foremost a constitutionalist. I care about the Constitution. So I would say I'm a constitutional conservative with small L libertarian leanings, and I want the Constitution preserved. So when the Constitution's not being preserved, I tend to take that very, very seriously. So if you could please bring it to my attention what Trump has done to undermine the United States Constitution, I'd love to know. Now, mind you, if you make an allegation, I may go and disagree with you. It's very possible that I might. So be prepared for that, in other words. And also, you have to give me something specific. That's what we'll do. All right? 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. What has the president done that violates the United States Constitution? Because again, if you tell me that the president, say, ignored the rulings of the court, I would tell you that that is, in my opinion, a impeachable offense. I would tell you that if the president ignores the rulings of the court and the president's in contempt of court, that could be grounds for a high crime and misdemeanor, as the founders put it, because the president's ignoring the judiciary. Is President Trump doing that? Right now in court, his administration is arguing that his travel ban is constitutional. So did President Trump, when the courts came along and said your travel ban is unconstitutional and they put it on hold, did Trump ignore the courts and do it anyway, or did Trump order his departments to comply with the judge's rulings. Because, I mean, he could have just ignored the court, right? He could have just said, you know what? Forget you guys in the Ninth Circuit. You're a bunch of wackos. I have other judges who say it's constitutional. I'm ignoring you, and I'm doing it anyway. Could have done that. Didn't do that. In fact, the federal government is in full 100% judicial compliance with the nuttiest of nutty rulings in the Ninth Circuit. Much to the chagrin of Trump supporters, some Trump supporters. Not this one. I think it's great that he's following the judiciary. As wrong as those rulings are, I'm glad he's doing it, because I was very critical of the last president for doing just that. You know, the Obama administration was in contempt of court on multiple occasions, right? Do you know that? They ignored the federal judge's orders when it came to immigration, and also when it came to the environment with regards to their enforcement of an EPA regulation that a judge had said was unconstitutional, and they went ahead and they kept doing it anyway. I don't remember the talk of impeachment back then, though, do you? So President Trump's in full compliance with the judiciary. President Trump has nominated dozens of people to serve at very high levels of government. In the State Department and in the this department, that department, they require Senate confirmation. The Democrats in the Senate are doing their best to drag their feet. Has President Trump said, well, then forget it. We're just not going to worry about confirmation. It's done. I'm ignoring the advise and consent provision of the Constitution. Kiss my you-know-what. Go on with your day. Has he done that? No, he's continuously having his people go to Capitol Hill and work with the Senate to try to have some of these people confirmed according to the provisions of the advise and consent provision of the United States Constitution. So what is President Trump doing that is unconstitutional, that it violates the United States Constitution? I just want to know. Is it firing the FBI director? Because last time I checked, the FBI director serves at the pleasure of the president. So if you serve at the pleasure of the president, how can firing you be unconstitutional? In fact, that to me is the very definition of constitutional. The president is exercising his ability under the auspices of being the head of the executive branch of government to remove people who work for the executive branch of government. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. We have Joe Scarborough. Here's what I mean. This is, you can take a listen to Joe and his arrogance mocking people with pocket constitutions.
Criticized George W. Bush at about the same time and got absolutely eviscerated. The Bush White House called speakers' bureaus, had her speeches canceled. Everybody started calling her a lefty. Everybody started calling her a liberal. I was called a rhino because we were attacking Bush for spending too much and his Wilsonian foreign policy. Republicans, who swore if they get back in power again would not repeat the same mistakes, are now repeating the same mistakes, but even worse. Not only are they supporting a guy that's going to bring the federal debt to $30 trillion, they're also supporting a guy that is shredding constitutional norms after they've been going around for 30 blanking years with a constitution.
Look, it's right here. I believe in this. Look, it's right
everywhere I went. They all carried, look, and then shove it in your face. Why don't you open it up and read it?
Ooh.
And stop worshiping power.
Ooh.
And read that Constitution that you've been carrying around in your pocket for 30 years. Because this is even worse than the kowtowing you did for Bush. And that is saying a lot.
There you go. Him mocking perhaps you. Maybe you have a pocket constitution. I do. And that's what we sound like. We sound like that. I got my pocket constitution right next to my pocket moonshine for 30 years. For 30 years. Imagine if you had the constitution in the same pants for 30 years and you never took it out. How bad those pants would smell. How bad that pocket constitution would smell. I got my... That's Morning Joe. This considers himself a conservative, mocking people. I got it right here. And then Mika goes, oh my. So, but what Joe can't explain is what constitutional norms Donald Trump is shredding. Again, I was piqued by this morning because I'm a person who loves the Constitution. I consider myself to be a constitutional conservative. So what pray tell is he doing to shatter constitutional norms? I want to know. Tell me, please, what is he doing? Perhaps John in Collingswood has the answer for us. John, how are you today, sir?
Hey, Rich, how are you?
Good, man.
Love the show. Yeah, I think you should be impeached.
Donald Trump should be impeached. Tell me how he's shattering constitutional norms. Go ahead.
he gets two scoops of ice cream when everybody else gets one.
It's true. It's a good point. It's a good point.
There you go.
There you go. Well said, John. The founders never wanted the president to have two scoops.
Impeach 45.
Thank you. Good job, John. Tom is in Booth Wynn. Hey, Tom.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Obviously, Trump has done nothing to shred the Constitution. They're just grasping at straws. And actually, I'm a teacher, and I hand out pocket constitutions to all my students on their 18th birthday. So I wish I could let Joe and Mika know that. I'm sure that'll make their heads explode.
You kind of sound like the voice he's doing, Tom. I've got to hand out my pocket constitutions.
I am proud of my constitution, and there's a whole bunch of young people out here who have their very own pocket constitution. Can't think of anything better to give them myself.
Well so. Done. I'm glad you do it, Tom. Thank you, and keep it up.
All right, sir. You too. All right. You too. Thanks.
Thank you. 855-839-1210, #1210. So again, the numbers, that's the number. You call up and tell me what Donald Trump has done to shred the Constitution or the constitutional norms or whatever it is in your smelly, dirty pocket constitution that you have been walking around with for 30 years. That you used to take out at rallies and go, I got my pocket constitution. So, yeah, let me know, because I'm really curious. Again, I'm really curious. I would like to know what Trump has done to violate the Constitution. I have over at Breitbart, Joe Pollack wrote a great piece on this, and Joe Pollack gets into a couple of, and he's a lawyer, and I'm not, and I'm glad that I'm not, by the way, but Scarborough goes, there are articles of impeachment, and Joe Pollack writes a couple different things here about how, essentially, the last president did things that you could argue were, in fact, unconstitutional by ignoring the judiciary, for example, and nobody seemed to care back then. I'll go into more of that with you in more detail. 855-839-1210, #1210 in a cell. But firing the FBI director, let's see now. Let's talk about that for a second. The FBI was created to fight organized crime and go after communists. It was started in, it was like 1908 or something like that, as the Bureau of Investigations, and then its power grew over the years until it became a full-fledged agency within the Department of Justice under the auspices of the Attorney General of the United States, who's appointed by the President of the United States. Now, I read the Federalist Papers. I reread one of the Federalist Papers where they talk about how a president can be removed through the Articles of Impeachment and why the Senate is the best choice for trying a president and not the Supreme Court. I read this, and the argument from the Founding Fathers was, the framers of the Constitution was basically this. It said, the Senate represents the states, and if the states want the chief executive removed, then the states, by a supermajority, will do so. And very, very laid out, thoughtful process. Nowhere in the Federalist Papers do they mention the FBI. The FBI is not mentioned there. Nowhere in the founding of this country do we have an FBI. We never created an FBI to be the agency that brings down chief executives. Despite the media hysteria, there is no provision whereby the FBI is responsible for investigating the president. That's Congress's job. The FBI works and serves at the pleasure of the president. That doesn't mean that if there's corruption within the presidency that people within the FBI won't find it or look for it or try to deal with it. But what it means is that the president has the power to fire the FBI director. And if the FBI director is the single thing that's keeping the president from being charged with a high crime and misdemeanor, then somebody really screwed up along the way when they created the FBI as a part of the Department of Justice and not a part of Congress, right? 855-839-1210, #1210 in a cell. So tell me, the phones are open, how Trump is shredding that pocket constitution you got there in your smelly overalls, son.
They're also supporting a guy that is shredding constitutional norms after they've been going around for 30 blanking years with a constitution.
Look, it's right here. I believe in this. Look, it's right. Everywhere I went, they all carried, look, and then shove it in your face. Why don't you open it up and read it?
Ooh.
And stop worshiping power and read that constitution that you've been carrying around in your pocket for 30 years. Because this is even worse than the kowtowing you did for Bush.
While and you're at it, why don't you wash those pants? 30 years is a really long time. Welcome back. Glad you're here. CBSPhilly.com/Rich and on Twitter at Rich Zioli. Awful about that bus. There's a way people can find out if they're kids are okay. You mentioned that, right? We have a number people to give out.
Yes, I can actually give the phone number if you don't mind.
It's
215-400-5858. So 215-400-5858. So some parents might be locked in meetings or at work, and they're just trying to get this word out. Obviously, they want to get a hold of them and let them know the conditions and that sort of thing, because all these kids were taken to the hospital, to area hospitals.
Yeah, and it was a Philly school. So, all right, so you, and I just retweeted the number as well. 215-400-5858.
Yes.
All right, very good. How was your Mother's Day?
It was wonderful.
So glad to hear that.
How was Bridget's Mother's Day?
Full of mimosas and quiche, as Mother's Day should be. So you had a nice day with the kids?
We did. We had some brunch, mimosas. Then we went to into the spring dance hot tub, sat there together and looked at the clouds, and it was very relaxing. It was wonderful.
Excellent. Fantastic. Yeah. That's wonderful. That's great to hear. So we had a nice Mother's Day as well. I hope every mom in the audience had a wonderful day. It's a very, very special day, Mother's Day. You missed it on Friday, though. I went through the history of Mother's Day and how the woman who started it wound up hating it. She was from Philadelphia, and she died in a sanitarium.
Oh, no.
Which I believe is what they call a modern-day mental patient place. I don't know the exact phrase, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So she wound up hating Mother's Day. She denounced the flowers and the candies and the restaurant reservations and the brunch. And she hated it towards the end. So
that's a shame. I mean, didn't you see so many people out, generations, moms and grandmoms and sisters, and whether you're a caregiver, an auntie or a godmother, you know, it's really just a celebration of family when it comes down to it, or relationships as well. So it's nice.
Well, I'm glad it's over. Now we can focus on Father's Day the way we
yes.
should.
So that's right. And Friday I was on a school field trip. We went on a whale watch.
Yeah. How was that?
Yeah. It turned into the vomit voyage.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Six,
awesome.
6 foot waves. Yeah. There it was.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sounds wonderful.
Oh,
I can't wait to chaperone a trip for my kids one day.
Yeah. But one boat right away from, goal weight.
Oh, that good, huh? But you guys made it safe.
Yes.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. We're glad to hear that.
By the way, Rich, my comment that I made on your show, on the show on Friday about, you know, dreading Mother's Day and having to go to the Lehigh Valley. Yeah, I caught hell for that.
Oh, really?
Yesterday.
Oh.
Sometimes I say things and forget who's listening and forget how many people are listening. And yeah.
It's a big reach. You got to be careful. Got to be careful. My mother-in-law can't listen, though, which is nice. She boycotts the show. Thank God for that.
Steph goes to me, why do you do these things? I said, I don't know. I just speak without thinking sometimes.
Greg, we have to read you your Miranda rights. You know, anything you say can and will be used against you, especially by the in-laws.
It's a great point. Can and will be used against you. That's the can and will be used against you. So, all right. Well, we got a busy day today. There's several interviews in the hopper, including we're going to talk to a union guy, a steel worker, a union guy. I like talking to the union guys. You know what I mean? The union guys. We've got that going on. We also got somebody from the Charles Koch Foundation on Criminal Justice Reform. Busy, busy day today. The number, though, 855-839-1210, #1210 in a cell. What has Trump done to shred that pocket constitution of yours you've been carrying around for 30 years? What has he done? I want to know. I'm dying to know. Please let me know, because I love the Constitution. And I want it to be preserved and protected. And I can't find yet what the president has done to shred constitutional norms. So tell me. This is your opportunity. You can make yourself famous here. You can best me today on a 50,000-watt mega radio station that you'll be heard in 37 states in Canada. That's right.
Who's...
What's that?
Nothing. I'm
And you also will be forever immortalized on our podcast at cbsphilly.com/rich. This is a big opportunity for you. Now, I did this last week. I also opened the phones to what specifically did Trump do with Russia? Unfortunately, we didn't get a winner that day. Maybe today will be the day we get a winner. All right? Very good. 855-839-1210, #1210 in a cell. Let's go to Alan. Alan is in Delaware. Alan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. Now's the part where you talk, Alan.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for you to tell me that it was permissible. I just wanted to say I was listening to Fox yesterday. They had a former FBI person on, and as of right now, the FBI is conducting an intelligence investigation. There are no criminal charges that they are investigating as of today.
Right.
So Bernie Sanders and Pocahontas and the rest of them need to forget about impeachment or anything else because there's nothing there to impeach. Secondly, I've been a Trump supporter for quite a long time now. He was not my first choice, but after one or two of the other 17 were eliminated, I jumped on the Trump wagon. I like what he does. He also, once you defeat your opponent, then it's time for you to move on. You need to get your legislation passed, et cetera. There are a few senators that are trying to play nice by having Merrick Garland nominated for the FBI. You don't play nice after you defeat your opponent. You do what you told people you were going to do, and that's to pass the legislation that he has put in his...
Well, Alan, you're disappointing me because I was hoping you were going to tell me how Trump is shredding the Constitution. You're not doing that.
No, I don't think he is.
All right.
I don't think people with good legal minds and a knowledge of the Constitution feel that way. So, anyway.
Well, thanks for the call, buddy. And if you hear something about it, let me know. Give me a call. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. Brad is in Yardley. Hello, Brad.
Hi. Good afternoon. So if you just take his own words, he fired James Comey based on the words that he used. He had in his mind that, you know, in terms of with the Russia investigation with Comey, you don't get rid of somebody who when you're part of an active ongoing investigation, which Comey admitted that he was.
Where is that written?
Where's what written?
That you don't get rid of somebody when you're part of an active investigation.
You don't. I mean, that's a statute. If you want, I'll get you. I'm a recovering lawyer. You cannot get rid of somebody if you're part of an active investigation.
So the president of the United States, in other words, people only serve at the pleasure of the president if
they do.
If he's not part of an active investigation.
Well, they do. But the thing is, and you can go back, and I'm not using the same analogy on the Saturday Night Massacre. But that was the same thing where Nixon ordered...
You're not using the analogy, but you're using the analogy.
Well, I'll use a different... I mean, you cannot get rid of your chief investigator when you're an active part of the investigation.
Where does it say that?
Again, I'll find it. I'll call back
okay.
with the actual statute.
Yeah, call back with the statute, because as I understand it, the president's power to have people in the executive branch serve at the pleasure of the president... Is not
well,
there's
go,
no
let
asterisk
go for,
to
okay.
that.
Well, let's go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So then he had his attorney general part of the process. His attorney general was supposed to recuse himself any part of the Russia investigation.
Okay,
we know with in Trump's own words that he had in his mind about the Russia investigation. Why didn't he allow his attorney general to recuse himself?
Well, recusal, as you know, is something that, I mean, you're an attorney, that's a choice Jeff Sessions made. He wasn't ordered legally to recuse himself, correct?
Well, no, that was, excuse me, and you would know this. This is the deal he made with Congress to not resign, that he was going to recuse himself.
Wait a second. Nobody ever called for the resignation of Jeff Sessions. Except Maxine Waters
nobody called for the resignation of Jeff Sessions.
I'm sure Barbara Boxer probably did. Maybe Chuck Schumer did. I don't remember a deal where Congress was going to impeach Jeff Sessions and Jeff Sessions agreed, made a legal agreement to recuse himself.
I think you should go back and look at some of the comments Jeff Flake made.
Time out. Can you do me a favor and let me know when this legal deal was structured whereby Jeff Sessions would agree to recuse in to forego being removed from office? When was that made?
It was the day it happened.
It happened.
That he announced mm-hmm. that he was going to recuse himself.
So there's what, written documentation of this, you think, or
this is what the, this is?
And was that did that get Mitch McConnell to not schedule a vote on his being removed from office?
What's that?
Did Mitch McConnell
you
then
know,
just not?
Oh, hold on.
Yeah,
Rich, you know that was next. You know that was next.
I know that now? So Jeff Sessions makes a decision on his own to recuse himself. There's never...
He didn't make it on his own, Rich.
Oh, he didn't.
That's what he... He had a choice.
I understand why you're a recovering lawyer, actually. This makes sense to me. So there's no deal struck. There's no actual legal agreement in any way, shape, or form. But in your mind, it is.
Okay, so let me move on.
No, we're done. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. You got to give me your best up front first. So your best is a mythical statue that the president loses the ability to have people serve at the pleasure of if there's an investigation. So I'll be happy to entertain that statute upon your return call. So glad you're here today. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. Here for you to, your phone lines are open. If you think how you want to explain how Trump is shred constitutional norms, as Joe Scarborough put it this morning on Morning Joe, mocking you probably if you have a pocket constitution. We have the clip of Morning Joe this morning. You didn't hear it live. But don't feel bad about that. No one did hear it live. Hearing it live would have required someone watching it live. I watched it live. It's what I do for you. One of us is always watching, right?
Yes.
Sometimes you watch it and you fill me in, and sometimes I watch it. And
I didn't see the big rock this morning. I missed it this morning.
Oh, it's
morning,
a
though.
Huge rock.
It's huge.
Bridget pointed it out to me. She goes, "Ugh, look at that thing." She's disgusted by them. She's, "Ugh, look at that rock." And it shines, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It shines
like
a little bit.
How many carats do you think it is? Is anybody? It's like 5 carats.
It's probably pretty big, yeah. Because, you know, at MSNBC, they're all about not having material objects and making sure that the little guy is represented.
Yeah, what about the 99% that can't afford those big diamond rings?
Listen, I mean, I don't know.
You know, those hillbillies that he's mocking with
their
constitutions.
It's a great question. I don't know. And what would Bernie Sanders say about that ring that Mika has on her finger there? Just curious.
There's nothing wrong with diamonds. They're organic. They're from the earth. So
they are organic diamonds.
Yeah, so I'm defending diamonds.
Do you get the blood diamonds?
Sure.
Sure, why not?
The more blood, the better, right?
I know, it's a sin. After I saw that movie, I was like, I want one of those diamonds.
Oh, yeah.
It's a sin.
Now, you can get a bloodless diamond.
I want a bloodless one.
You want a bloodless one?
A vegan.
No, I want a blood diamond. Give me the real deal. I want the as brutal a diamond as you can possibly get. Let's go with all the cliches now, shall we? Actually, you know the kind of diamond I want? I want the kind sold in Delaware. No sales tax. All right, 855-839-1210, pound 1210 on a sell. Just kidding, of course. Charles is in the Northeast. Hello, Charles. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I don't like to use shredding the Constitution, but I think he's violating the Constitution, that emoluments clause, when he, you know, he has tenants in his buildings that are either the Chinese government or companies that are primarily held by the Chinese government. He has loans from banks that are held by the Chinese government or controlled by the Chinese government, and they can squeeze him.
Well, that's not the same thing as violating that clause you mentioned.
He's violating the Constitution by accepting monies, benefits, emoluments from a foreign government.
No,
that's
so
a violation.
So it's not in that context. In other words, if the president...
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay. If the president were to take money in exchange for a specific policy that benefits a foreign government, that would be a violation.
That's not what the Constitution says. There's no conditions. You're not allowed to take money from foreign governments.
Well,
he's in violation.
Okay, so his companies, which he's now separated from for the period
No, he hasn't.
Right. So challenge it in court, then challenge it through the
I really hope somebody will. But what's he in violation of? That's what he's in violation of.
So I think what you'd
find... Now you're asking that it has to be proven.
Well, I think everything in life does. But I think what you'd find, though, is that when you have these existing relationships with, say, the government of China before he becomes president, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He becomes president, and it's not as if he starts taking the Chinese rent after he's president, and he's an ongoing active participant in the company right now.
Doesn't matter. If he knew he was becoming president, he should have sold those assets, gotten out of those agreements.
That's not what he's required to do. He can't take.
Okay,
you're not. All right.
You
keep saying the same thing. It doesn't make it true. If he were to take the money, What has he done for these countries on behalf of taking their money?
He's taken their money. That's
what has he done?
The Constitution.
What has he done for these companies? These countries.
he has taken their money.
Again,
that's
I'm asking you.
All
right. So I'll try one more time. I'll talk
anything.
Slower. What has he done to benefit a foreign entity? What has he done to benefit a foreign entity?
He hasn't done anything to benefit a foreign entity. But
when he does, call back. When he does, call back. Thank you. I keep saying the same thing over and over again. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in his cell. If he does something to benefit a foreign entity on behalf of taking money for himself personally or his companies, then let me know. That's a serious charge. It's a serious allegation. It's a majorly serious allegation. So give it something specific, and we'll talk about the emoluments clause. Alex is in Downingtown. Hello, Alex.
Hi, Rich. Thanks for taking my
sure.
call. I really enjoy the show. I really only have a really quick comment, and I was just curious as to when Joe Scarborough is going to have Mr. Khan from the DNC National Convention on the show.
Now, this is a great point you're asking. So Mr. Khan, of course, held up what now at the DNC?
If I'm not mistaken, it was a pocket-sized constitution.
That is a great point, a pocket-sized constitution.
So I wonder how long he had it in his suit pocket, though.
Do you think Joe Scarborough is mocking Mr. Khan here? You know, if you listen closely, he might be doing an accent similar to that of Mr. Khan. Take a listen.
Hey, look, it's right here. I believe in this. Look, it's right everywhere I went. They all carried Khan. Look,
there you go.
Shove it in your face.
Okay. Well, listen, I think it's very obvious then, Alex, he's mocking Mr. Khan, don't you?
I think so.
Well done, sir. Good job. Excellent work. 855. Have a good day, Alex. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 on a sale. Well done. All right. So let's see now. I guess it would have to be one of those situations where the Comey thing becomes a level of everybody gets bored and it becomes a new topic, a new scandal du jour. Or maybe you have Grassley and Feinstein talk about how Trump is not the target of an FBI probe. See, all this is fun and games and everything like this. But when you have the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Chuck Grassley, read a statement, and then the ranking member, Senator Dianne Feinstein, agree to that, and they strongly hint that Trump is not a target of the FBI probe, I guess the whole kind of, you know, obstruction of justice thing loses muster a little bit. You're not going to hear this in the mainstream media, I guess, but we'll hear it here on the show. Cut number one.
Mr. Comey did brief Ranking Member Feinstein and me on who the targets of various investigations are. It would not be appropriate for me to reveal those details before the professionals conducting the investigations are ready. So I will not answer any questions about who are targets of the ongoing Russian investigations, but I will say this. Shortly after Director Comey briefed us, I tweeted that he should be transparent. I said he should tell the public what he told Senator Feinstein and me about whether the FBI is or is not investigating the president. On Tuesday, the president's letter said that Director Comey told him he was not under investigation. Senator Feinstein and I heard nothing that contradicted the president's statement. Now, Mr. Comey is no longer the FBI director, but the FBI should still follow my advice. It should confirm to the public whether it is or is not investigating the president, because it has failed to make this clear. Speculation has run rampant. The intelligence community said that one of the Russians' goals is to undermine the American public faith in our democratic institutions. Wild speculation that the FBI is targeting the president in a criminal or intelligence inquiry is not just irresponsible and unfounded. It provides aid and comfort to the Russians and their goal of undermining faith
All right, let's stop
in
it
our democracy.
Right here. So this is now the chairman of the judiciary. Wild speculation that the FBI is targeting the president in a criminal or intelligence inquiry is not just irresponsible and unfounded. It provides aid and comfort to the Russians and their goal of undermining faith in democracy. Right? Wild speculation, this is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee now, wild speculation that the FBI is targeting the president in a criminal or intelligence inquiry is not just irresponsible and unfounded, it provides aid and comfort to the Russians and their goal of undermining faith in our democracy. Let's allow the chairman to continue, please.
So what I suggest is that before this committee does anything more on this matter, that all the members get briefed by the FBI on what is actually going on. Hopefully that will help temper some of the unsubstantiated statements that have been made.
I very much appreciate what you said, and it's very accurate. And we were briefed, and the nature of the briefing was a counterintelligence and criminal investigation that the FBI was carrying out. And more than that, I will not say either.
I think it's very clear from that exchange from the chairman of the judiciary, then the follow-up by Senator Feinstein, who says, I very much appreciate what you said. It's very accurate, and we were briefed, that while they're not coming right out and saying it, the president is not the target of this investigation. Which is why Chairman Grassley says wild speculation that the FBI is targeting the president in a criminal or intelligence inquiry is not just irresponsible and unfounded. It provides aid and comfort to the Russians and their goal of undermining faith in our democracy. Now, that's an opportunity for Feinstein to say, it's not really unfounded, Mr. Chairman. She doesn't do that. She says his statement is accurate.
Rizzioli 3-6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.